Janae Angola Jr., the podcast.
Market down February 16th, 2021. Being called or referenced in any way to Channing Tatum was the moment that this man peaked. It's Janae Angola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Janae Agumake. We're presented by Progressive Insurance, and guests join us on the Goodyear Hotline. And Janae, it's so interesting. In about 10 minutes, we're going to get to talk about Giannis and the Bucks. And what's interesting to me about that is that it's really the first time we're having a lot of meaningful conversation, critical or otherwise, about the Bucks in a year after Giannis finally signed that deal. It seems like he's getting exactly what he wanted out of that.
Yes, he actually has won the scenario. A lot of people would have said, oh, all the eyeballs and all the pressure is going to be on Giannis Antetokounmpo as he makes that decision to stay with Milwaukee. Well, actually, they're in the middle of a little bit of a rift, but I feel like that actually might be better for them come down the stretch. So we'll talk about that in about 10 minutes.
And we will. They get to work all that out without the surrounding noise, which I have a feeling is what Giannis wanted to avoid. But for more on things surrounding the association and professional basketball, we're delighted to head out now to the Goodyear Hotline, where we're joined by Isaiah Thomas, two-time NBA All-Star, current free agent, and helping the Team USA right now, suiting up for a pair of FIBA AmeriCup qualifying games in San Juan, Puerto Rico. And Isaiah, we appreciate the time. What has that been like right now, international basketball during a pandemic year, during a year unlike any other?
First off, thanks for having me. It's been different, but, you know, the whole last 12 months has been different for everybody. So, you know, it's an honor and a privilege to be able to put on a, you know, USA uniform and be able to play for your country. So, you know, I'm excited about the opportunity.
And USA basketball, you know that a lot of NBA coaches, professional coaches watch that, Isaiah. So how has your experience been also in your pursuit to entering the league again?
It's been good. You know, when the USA team came to me about this opportunity, it was a no-brainer. Just because of that, you know, NBA teams will be watching. This will be my first time competing against professionals since, you know, last year after I got traded to the Los Angeles Clippers and then got waived. This is just an opportunity for me to show that I'm, you know, 100% healthy, and, you know, I'm ready to prove that. And, you know, I'm in a good place mentally and physically now. And, you know, it's an honor to be able to play for Team USA and to be able to compete.
Talking to Isaiah Thomas with us again, two-time NBA All-Star on the Goodyear Hotline. And take us through that process, getting back and feeling fully healthy, because I have to imagine finding yourself outside of the league and not feeling 100%. There had to be some low points in there. So how did you work through all that to get back to a point now where you're starting to feel like yourself again?
Man, it's, you know, the last 3 or 4 years has been tough for me because I've been injured. And, you know, I've been trying to figure out ways to continue to play and be able to play at a high level due to the injury. And, you know, I just wasn't myself. So, you know, last year when the world stoppage happened with, you know, the pandemic and everything, you know, I went back to the drawing board, and then I just, you know, I had enough time to be able to get this procedure done to be able to finally fix my hip. So, you know, I'm 9 months, almost 10 months out of surgery. I'm 100% healthy. Mentally, I'm in a great place now. And, you know, I'm excited about this opportunity this weekend to show the world that, you know, I'm myself and I'm able to play at a high level again. And not only that, have fun with the game of basketball again. Because, like I said, the last few years has been tough for me, not just, you know, physically, but mentally. And, you know, I'm back to being myself. So I'm in a good place right now.
Yes, sir. A comeback king. I get that as someone who's dealt with injuries in the pro hoop level myself. So we are all rooting for you. Isaiah Thomas, two-time NBA All-Star here with us on Janae Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio. And I want to get your take on this, Isaiah, because obviously a lot of people are talking about what Draymond Green had said when it comes to the double standard when trades happen between players and when trades happen, you know, when the teams sort of dictate that. What was your take on Draymond's comments?
He was 100% correct. I mean, you know, a lot of players don't like to speak out on things like that, but I think he's in a position, you know, to be able to do that and not get, you know, a lot of negativity towards his name. I think if you ask any player, he was 100% right of what he said. It's a double standard for sure. You know, at the end of the day, everybody says, you know, it's a business. They can do this, they can do that, but it's just two sides to it. And I think you know, if they're able to come together and there's able to be communication, I think that will be the outlet of it being, you know, simpler times of guys getting traded and not knowing, or guys being put in position to not succeed and it be the player's fault. You know, it's never the organization's fault. But, you know, I can't comment too much on it, but Draymond Green was correct on what he said. And I'm 100%, you know, in agreement to that.
Jhené Ngola Jr. here on ESPN Radio. We're talking to two-time NBA All-Star Isaiah Thomas on the Goodyear Hotline. And you talk about business decisions. We see it all the time and certainly talked about it at the professional level. But I wanted to follow up with you on something that I saw you say about the collegiate level. Jalen Johnson at Duke made the decision to opt out of the remainder of this season. And you had a tweet, a quote tweet that said, "That ain't it. Finish what you started." You followed up later on. I know it's Twitter, so it's only 280 characters. But I wanted to ask you what your thoughts were on that. Do you think that Jalen Johnson was wrong for going about this the way that he did?
I don't know too much about the situation, but from what, you know, that came out in the media, I'm just not for quitting. Obviously, I'm for the player and I'm 100% for the player and what's best for the player's situation and the player's future. I just feel like there's better ways to go about the situation other than saying, you know, you're going pro with 2 or 3 weeks left in the season. But, you know, to each his own, you know, I bet he has the right people around him to make those right decisions. So I can't fault him for that. I've never been a quitter, and I'm not saying he is. But I feel like there was a better way to go about the situation than, you know, how it came out.
That makes total sense. Isaiah Thomas, two-time NBA All-Star here with us on ESPN Radio. Jhené Ngola, K. Michael Jr. holding it down. And Isaiah, can you sort of tell us what you've sort of noted as key performances so far this season? We've got LeBron James sort of leading the way in the West. We've had Dame Dalla doing his thing. And now we have a Brooklyn Big Three. What do you think sort of has made their mark? Which players, which teams sort of have you identified as making some waves this season?
I mean, obviously, the defending champion, the Lakers, they solidified themselves as probably the best team in the NBA right now. And LeBron James is just, you know, unbelievable of the things he can do in season, 18 it is, I think it is. And the Big Three, I mean, in Brooklyn, I mean, they're arguably the best offensive, you know, power that the NBA has seen. And it's going to be tough to beat those guys in a 7-game series. But also there's a few, like you said, Dame Dalla, he's just doing what he's always done, you know, flying under the radar, but also being arguably the best point guard that's, you know, playing in the NBA today. So, you know, there's a lot of highlights in the season. It's still a little early, but I can't wait, you know, for playoff basketball for it to get a little more serious and we can see who's really dialed in.
Isaiah, I am curious because it got asked about LeBron James to compare the Brooklyn Nets Big Three that involves Kevin Durant and the Big Three that we saw in Golden State with him, Klay Thompson, and Steph Curry. At their peak, offensively, strictly offensively right now, do you think this Brooklyn Nets unit that involves that same Kevin Durant has a chance to actually be a more potent offensive group than what we saw from that Golden State Big Three?
I think they have a chance to be. I think if they do win the NBA championship, the game will change again to where now the isolation player will be the impact player that teams need to win a championship. And I think 5-6 years ago when, you know, the Warriors built their dynasty, they built it so genuine that the NBA, every NBA team tried to copy what they were doing, but they couldn't because they didn't have the players to be able to do it. But, you know, those are two of the – arguably the two strongest big threes we've ever seen in NBA history. And they go about their ways a little differently. But, you know, exciting. It's exciting to see and to be able to as a fan, you know, not it's probably not as exciting to be able to play against those guys. But, you know, while I'm watching these games on TV, definitely excited to watch the Brooklyn Nets play.
Listen, certainly defensively, you can at least know you're going to go out there and probably get buckets against that team right now, the way that it's been going on here. Isaiah, we appreciate the time and the insight. Best of luck with everything with Team USA, and we're sure we'll be seeing you on an NBA court sometime soon.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Yeah, I'll be back really soon. Thank you.
Isaiah Thomas with us here on the Goodyear Hotline. Chenea and Golic Jr. is brought to you by Goodyear, helping you discover the road ahead. Goodyear, more driven. I couldn't help it, Chenea. I felt like he was ready to try and get some take off his chest, and I just wanted to help get him there.
Yo, that was it, though. You did come in with the subliminal talking about, well, at least you know you can score against them. Like, at least you got that going. But, hey, you heard it here first. Chenea and Golic Jr., Isaiah Thomas, hopefully back in the association.
It's going to be very interesting to watch that happen. Playing international basketball, I was genuinely curious because we know travel going around has been difficult just doing it inside our country. I mean, hell, the Raptors are living in Tampa right now for that reason. So fascinating to watch this all unfold. But coming up next, even more fascinating to watch how little we've actually brought up the Milwaukee Bucks this year. The two-time reigning NBA MVP getting to operate in anonymity. Is this exactly what he wanted? We'll do that next. Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chenea and Golic Jr., the podcast.
We are so close to my favorite time of the week. When Kimberly A. Martin comes by, our great ESPN NFL reporter, who also does a great podcast called First Take Her Take with Charlie Arnold and our own Chenea Igwumike, where I try and pry and see if podcast Chenea let any tea spill that radio Chenea might not necessarily around these parts.
So much tea spilled. Like, I did exactly what I probably shouldn't be doing, and I've already spilled the tea. I read a certain text message on our podcast, right? And I gave his specs.
Oh, no. Chenea and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Mike Golic Jr. and Chenea Igwumike. So on Friday before Valentine's Day, we got Chenea out here reading text message interactions that she has had with some male suitors, and you went and actually started describing him?
Yeah, I did. And so if you listen to First Take Her Take, you guys can know the spec of what I'm dealing with on our podcast. And it wasn't just me. Charlie Arnold, who you see all the time on First Take co-hosting with Molly, she also spilled her own tea, Valentine's Day tea. And then Kimberly was just sitting there sipping her coffee because she married. She grown.
I was going to say, Kimberly gets to sit back and watch the rest of this unfold right now. It's like we described before, J.J. Watt's going through all this free agency stuff really for the first time for him. And I said, is wild, like dating in your late 20s or dating in your 30s. And so getting to sit back and watch that unfold is exactly what we like being here.
Yes, precisely. And I did just get a text from Kimberly, who's coming on very soon. She's first taping something for SportsCenter, but then she said she's going to talk to us about J.J. Watt and also Carson Wentz. So I look forward to that.
Very exciting. So make sure you stick around for that. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. Insurance for motorcycles, boats, and RVs. For more protection on the road and on the water, see how much more you can save in as little as 3 minutes at 1-800-PROGRESSIVE and progressive.com. Chenea, I want to talk about the Milwaukee Bucks. I want to talk about the struggles they're having and also the fact that we haven't been talking about the Milwaukee Bucks at all this season. And so I'll ask you from a basketball perspective first, because I think part of this is exactly what Giannis wanted. But on the hoop side here, they're in a little bit of a slide right now in the last four games, and they're trying to kind of search for answers. So on a basketball front, and from that standpoint, where are the Bucks at right now? What do they need to fix?
Surprisingly, they're better than where they were before, just because they're actually doing something different this season than they did last season. Last season, they sort of would be on regular season cruise control. We've seen them have 54, 60 wins and just lock in and be happy that they're winning a lot of regular season games. But then there are a lot of pains that happened in the playoffs, especially when it comes to Giannis Antetokounmpo being a two-time MVP and being bounced out of the playoffs the way where his game was exploited, and the Milwaukee Bucks and their coach took a lot of fire and criticism for not being able to find a system where you can sort of maximize on his talents and rival, you know, LeBron James, because people were looking for that type of matchup. So right now, guess what? A lot of people are going to talk about their skid, their slip and slide. I see what you're doing there. But at least right now, they're trying to do different things. One of our best when it comes to the NBA, Zach Lowe, especially on his podcast, he talked about how for the first time this year versus the past few years on defense, they're choosing to switch, like switch ball screens. And they're experimenting defensively. They're also experimenting offensively. You look at Giannis playing the five, and I've said this, and people forget Drew Holiday has been out, and they've been like 1-4 or so since Drew Holiday has been out. And he was that big guy that was supposed to take them over the edge at the point guard position. But yeah, you're playing Giannis at the five some. You're playing him, you know, more traditionally as a post. And that was necessary. You know why that was necessary? Because Giannis used to get that rebound, dribble, and they had the great walls of NBA defense lined up around the free throw line saying, all right, do whatever you want, but you're not getting in the paint. And that's what happened in the postseason. Now you move him to the post, and okay, things are now trying to be experimented. Now they're amounting in some losses, but wouldn't you like to lose now then, you know, and learn how to win later than just win now and then lose later? So the Bucks, while, you know, they normally, and you brought up this point, I heard, right? Like, if Giannis wasn't signed, we would be like, red flag, red alert, free agency, it's going to go crazy, right?
This is my biggest point in all this, because you're right. There are a lot of good reasons to say, if you're tinkering with the process that failed you in the postseason, you're doing the smart thing here. I don't know if they'd be allowed to do this if Giannis was still a free agent, because even as much of a smokescreen as Brooklyn was going to provide everybody, James Harden getting traded to the Nets, and really them already getting Kevin Durant and Kyrie back healthy, was going to be the story. But Giannis is the two-time defending NBA MVP, and if he was still up for free agency right now and you had a four-game skid like this, that is leading First Take. That is going to be the thing that we talk about, is how does every one of these moments and every one of these steps affect Giannis's free agency? And now they don't have to deal with that anymore, and so I wonder if that, combined with what you just talked about, them tinkering with the process a bit, could be the best thing in an Eastern Conference where everyone's going to keep focusing on Brooklyn's every move. Hell, we're even going to focus more on the Sixers and what Joel Embiid has been doing. Is this actually the best thing that could have happened that justifies Giannis's decision to stay?
Let me put y'all on game. Are you ready to go into the locker room and put you on game? They're doing what's necessary. And that's why when we see the Lakers no longer be number one in the West, we're like, don't panic. When you see Giannis and the Bucks take a couple of losses this year, they're right now third in the standings. Don't panic. Because guess what? You might fight for that top spot, but does that top spot really matter after a season where they just played in a bubble? Does that top spot really matter when you're playing at home and there are no fans in the stands? As long as you keep yourself in contention and you build that chemistry, that's what matters most. That's what Brooklyn's probably focusing on. Let's make sure these guys finish the season healthy, and let's keep us in contention to have a pretty decent position to make a run in the postseason. It's no longer the Milwaukee Bucks that have to finish NBA and have the home court advantage to give us every advantage in the playoffs. The game is set different. In the words of Michael Jr., the game is built different this season. And so I feel like the Bucks are playing the long game instead of the short game, and hopefully that'll pay off for them.
Hopefully it will. It's going to be exciting to see if they enter back into that conversation more as we get closer to that postseason, when they're going to have to start answering some of the parts of the test that they failed in the past. But while we're watching that, coming up next, what's it like to be able to sit back and watch free agency play out in front of you, all the moving parts, all the courtship and things that go on? We'll also talk to Kimberly Martin about what's going on in the NFL this offseason. We'll get to that after this word from Dollar Shave Club. All right, paint you a picture, guys. You walk into your favorite store and you go to the razor section, and then it hits you. You got so many options. How are you supposed to choose? 8-blade, 10-blade, 50-blade razor that you need two hands to operate like a damn lightsaber? Nah. Dollar Shave Club, which is now at a store near you, has got you. They got the premium 6-blade cartridge designed for daily shavers with short hair, and a 4-blade cartridge for less frequent shavers with longer hair. The blades are spaced out a little bit more for easy rinsing. Because, again, this was news to me. More blades. I just thought it was keep adding blades, it'll keep getting better. Not the case. If you're still confused, I told you, Dollar Shave Club got you, and they do. DSC put both cartridges in one new starter box, so now you can test drive both. Hell, you might even like both. You might have to shave your face every day. You might be like me and have to shave your head every few days, fresh baldy. Or once a week, you might have to shave your shoulders so your girlfriend starts calling you a bear. No comment. For more info, visit dollarshaveclub.com/gojo. Again, that's dollarshaveclub.com/gojo. One more time, dollarshaveclub.com/gojo. And check out DSC at your nearest store. You got questions, we got answers. Welcome to the club. Carson Wentz finally going to get out of the nest and into a new team next here on Chanae and Gold Jr. on ESPN Radio.
Chanae and Gold Jr., the podcast.
My favorite time of the week is finally here. It is Chanae and Gold Jr. here on ESPN Radio. And we'd like to remind you that around here we like to support not only our podcast that you can check out, download, rate, and subscribe wherever you get your podcast, but while you're there, also make sure you're checking out First Take. Her Take is an awesome podcast that our very own Chanae Igwumike is starring on alongside Charlie Arnold and Kimberly Martin, who joins us now on the Goodyear Hotline. And Kimberly, I got to ask, before we get to the news of the NFL offseason and where J.J. Watt and Carson Wentz are going to end up, What's it like for you now going into this week where we're coming off Valentine's Day weekend and you're a happily married woman watching these two single ladies spill all their tea all over the place talking about their relationships?
It is wonderful because I don't have to worry about all that. I do not envy anybody having a swipe left, swipe right, whatever. Marriage can be exciting too, guys. Let's not get it twisted. Valentine's Day was good. I can't wait. You guys got to listen to the podcast, First Take, Her Take, because Shanae's love life, I know, will be a recurring theme. And I can't wait for her to dish a little more on what's going on.
This is what makes me so happy, Kimberly, is Shanae comes on this show, and she'll give us some of this stuff right here. But radio, you're kind of aware. Podcasting, you know this, Kimberly.
You get on a
podcast, and you kind of relax a little bit. You unclench your jaw, and things start coming out in that. So very intrigued to see what Shanae.
Very relaxed on the podcast. Yes, that's why you guys have to tune in.
There we go. New episode drops every Wednesday, so that puts it at today. Go and check that out now. But Kimberly, we also know that in addition to being a great host of that podcast, you're also a great NFL reporter for us. And so I want to know what you think looks like the most realistic landing spot for Carson Wentz. As we get deeper and deeper into this offseason, he's going to become a bigger and bigger story. Where you think makes the most sense for him right now?
You know, I think the reality is, like, we're down to two teams, the Colts and the Bears. And to me, if I'm Carson Wentz, I would want to go to Indy because, as we all know, and we all talked about, the Frank Reich factor, you know, the Eagles former OC when they won the Super Bowl, that they have a very special connection. The challenge here is how the Eagles have played this whole situation. And it's not unfair to say that they've bungled it because you have a QB who doesn't want to be in Philly anymore. The organization has made it clear they want to move on, but he's been so devalued by the franchise too, his own play and by the franchise. So other teams, the Bears and the Colts, understand we don't have, like, we're bidding against either ourselves or one another. And we can wait because there is a deadline. You know, the Eagles have to pay Carson Wentz a lot of money very soon. And if you're a prospective team that is interested in Carson Wentz, you just sit back and wait because the Eagles have overvalued what the return it would be for Carson Wentz. They thought, okay, well, Matt Stafford fetched this price. So we clearly can get the same. And if you go into a situation with the mindset of we've got to win this trade no matter what, we don't want anybody saying we didn't get enough or we got fleeced or how could they only get the second round pick for Carson. If you stand firm in that belief, a lot of times you might do yourself a disservice. And I think the longer this goes on, the Eagles have boxed themselves in such a corner that they've got to move him. And everybody knows they're desperate, too. So that's not a good negotiating place to be in.
Hey, girl. It's your girl, Gio Gomez.
Hey, friend.
Hey, girl. It's Kimberly A. Martin, ESPN NFL reporter, and also one of the co-hosts of First Take, Her Take. Yeah, get used to this every week. This is my girl. Now, you've covered Carson Wentz, obviously, but let's head to H-Town, my town, because you tweeted that the Buffalo Bills are looking into J.J. Watt after the Houston Texans released him. Why could this sort of work for both parties involved, J.J. Watt and Buffalo?
I think, you know, if you're J.J. Watt, picture it. You're J.J. Watt, you're 32 years old. That's not old, but it's getting there. You know, you've been in the league 10 years. You're on the downside of your career. The guy can still play, though he's not the same player he once was. So if you take a step back as J.J. Watt, you say, what are my options? I want to go to a team that I think has a real good shot of not only making the playoffs, but making the NFC or AFC title game and possibly making the Super Bowl. If I'm him, I'm looking at Kansas City, Buffalo, Tampa Bay, and Green Bay. Those are the top four to me that you could say, yeah, we've got a shot at being really good. And as you said, you know, earlier today I tweeted that the Bills have inquired about J.J. Watt. They've reached out to his camp, and the interest is mutual. So Bills Mafia is going crazy hearing that news because he is a playmaker still. But the thing you have to factor in is, you know, there's the Pittsburgh angle too. There's the tug at the heartstrings. This is my brothers. You know, how many times have we seen brothers playing on the same team? This would be so special for the Watt family. The problem is the Steelers have to figure out what's going on with Ben Roethlisberger. They have to bring his cap number down. And they also have like eight free agents, like key free agents that they need to decide, like including Bud Dupree, Juju, James Conner. What are they doing with them? And they also have to pay JJ's brother, TJ. That guy balled out and he deserves a payday. And if you're JJ Watt, you going to Pittsburgh might mess up your brother's pockets a little bit because the Steelers gotta pay both of them, right? So if you're JJ, you might say, you know what? I want TJ to cash in. I want him to get as much as he can. And instead, both of us can win if I go to another team that's poised to take the next step. And that could be Buffalo. They came very, very close. So I think that's a potentially intriguing landing spot. But Chinay, Mike, any team that's interested in JJ Watt, they have to be concerned about the medical because he does have an extensive injury history and no other team has been able to be around him in 10 years except Houston. So you don't know if this is a guy that rehabs all week in order to play on Sunday. You don't know how much maintenance is going on behind the scenes. And those are the things you need to look at and evaluate and have your own medical staff evaluate him before you pull the trigger.
It's a great point, and especially doing all of that amidst a pandemic still that's going to affect some of the beats of this offseason. Yep. It's a great reminder of all the things that have to go into this process for J.J. Watt enjoying free agency for the first time. Kimberly, you're the best. It's my favorite time of the week. Can't wait to talk to you again next week and see what else Janae's told
girl.
You by then.
Bye, guys.
Check out Kimberly Martin again. You see her all over the place. First Take, her take. You see her on First Take on TV. Always doing great work covering the NFL for us. ESPN Radio is presented by Progressive Insurance. At Progressive, they're making things even easier. They'll help you bundle your home and car insurance together so you can save on both. Learn more at progressive.com or 1-800-PROGRESSIVE. Coming up next, let's head down under. Serena Williams' quest.
Down under.
You know, I immediately regret doing that, too. I don't know
down
why.
Down under.
Which one of us? I mean, I feel like we both have pretty terrible Australian accents now.
Yeah, let's leave that to the real ones.
We're going to wait until we can get Texas Chinay back out here to break some news about the Lone Star State. But coming up next, let's head to Australia and try and see if the road to history for one star might go through one of the most lovable stars we've seen in sports right now. That's next. It's Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio.
Chinay and Golic Jr., the podcast.
Carolina and the Panthers have entered the chat. How serious should we take this potential haul and that do whatever it takes mentality? Is that even a place Deshaun Watson wants to go? Chinay Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio, Mike Golic Jr. and Chinay Agwumike. We'll hit that in about 10 minutes here on ESPN Radio as we keep spinning the quarterback carousel wheel on this offseason. But Chinay, we have mentioned that we have outlawed the word G-O-A-T around here after what we did during Super Bowl week. We have tried to get that out of the way, and in that time period, we've realized that's pretty hard to do because we had a lot of really good athletes at work right now, and we know LeBron James still has a way to go to cement that. But now we've got another trip. We've got Naomi Osaka and Serena Williams getting ready to square off in the Australian Open. And I feel like this is a difficult one to try and figure out rooting interest in. And so we're going to try and sort out all of our thoughts and feelings and do it in one and done.
So much to say.
Are you good? Like, do you need a minute to breathe? Do you need some water?
So little time.
I'm trying to balance a lot right now.
One and done.
So, Chinay, I asked straight up, who are we supposed to root for in this? Because both of these people seem to have a lot going for them that most people would normally get all behind, but now we got to split it up somehow.
So you're correct. This is a trip of goats that we're seeing in the Australian Open. Yes, a group of goats, a trip of goats, where Naomi Osaka acknowledges that even Serena Williams, of course, has paved the way for her. And this is huge because while the culture doesn't take sides, with a victory in the 2021 Australian Open, Serena Williams will equal Margaret Court's record, major record of 24 majors. Now, the Australian Open, this is super significant because, you know, the Australian Open is the home of Margaret Court Arena, you know, as, you know, the Margaret Smith Court. And she, Serena, has a 26-year career where I think a lot of people sort of want to see her win, even though we kind of want both to win, but, like, there's another rooting interest in Serena. Because if you think about what she's been able to do, she has transformed women's tennis period, and transform sports. Now, when it comes to tennis, it's her ground strokes, it's her serves. She transformed, more importantly, how we think about women, period. when it comes to expression and emotion, happiness and anger, joy and pain. She literally won a major with a baby in her belly, and she won wearing what she wants, which I'm glad to see her in that nice one suit, you know, the suit she's wearing for the Australian Open as an homage to another great, you know, athlete in FloJo. And we love seeing her win, and she wins how she won. So I feel like, you know, this is being a greater part of a movement that has started with, you know, you always say you stand on the shoulders of those who come before. You know, Serena is the GOAT when it comes to this game. But you have to salute also in this moment as she tries to achieve history, Billie Jean King, who started working towards pay equity, too, when it comes to the sport and the major prizes and all that type of stuff. So, you know, while we see these two goats face off, a baby goat known as a kid and also a goat, you know, I'm glad we're able to unveil that word again. Serena Williams has transformed what women athletes or just athletes are thought of, period, not just using that female gender designation. So this is a win for the culture, no matter how you slice it. And I hope that we do get to see her come closer to history, because that would be amazing in a year where we just also saw Tom Brady do something amazing and LeBron James is doing the same thing. So she definitely is in that conversation, but she's on the precipice and it would be super significant, especially with the Australian Open.
Chinay and Golic Jr. here on ESPN Radio. Chinay, as usual, that was eloquent, that was well thought out, that was exquisite. Are you rooting for Serena Williams?
Yes.
There we go. That's what I needed to hear out of you, Chinay. I just needed to know which side of this match you were going to be on right now. Chinay Ogbumike officially rooting for Serena Williams in her match against Naomi Osaka. See, it wasn't so hard. You just got to come out and say it sometimes.
Okay, so where does the culture stand? We've got to, where do you stand? You know, okay, obviously Junior. Where do you think here? So, are you reading for Serena as well?
So I am, I think, doing that for selfish reasons in here. And I'll explain why. Because I look at both of them, and we certainly know the past in all this one. The last time that these two met in a big-time major stage was when Serena Williams had a lot of on-court meltdown going on in a way that we know became a heated topic of conversation. There was a lot of wailing that went on around that situation. And so now we get back here. And since then, Naomi Osaka has endeared herself to pretty much everyone. She has been unbelievably likable, outspoken, and doing it all while being a young up-and-coming star. But Serena Williams, for all of us, represents those big driving forces in life that we kind of all get behind, because selfishly, we want to see the best while we're in our prime, too. As our prime in sports watching time, as fans, we want to see this go on. It's why we look at LeBron and we're so impressed with what he's done in a late age. That's why we just sat here and talked so much about Tom Brady, because we're all getting older and we want to see our athletes be the ones that are talked about forever. And honestly, Chinay, I think just as much in a world where we're watching Tiger Woods go through more physical injury, and he was one of the next ones on the cusp of going out and hitting some big time numbers, and we're starting to realize, man, catching Jack probably doesn't look like it's in the cards physically anymore. Serena's the next one, the next closest to hitting an all-time mark in our lifetime. And I think whether we all admit it out loud or even notice it, we selfishly root for these things because we want our era to be the one that we can hold up above everybody else. So I think that's why I find myself hoping Serena does this, because I tend to project a lot of my stuff onto her, like we do with all great athletes.
Very true. I would like to go to the cultural contingent. And Shannon, you have to find a way to communicate to us. Billy, Cliff, what are we thinking? Who are we taking?
Cliff, you're up first here. Naomi Osaka or Serena Williams?
I'm taking my cousin Naomi. I think she's got it. I think she's next up. Sorry, Serena. Love you. You're the GOAT, but you're a thing of the past.
He's Haitian, y'all.
Ooh, he said you're a thing of the past. Good Lord.
Dude, I think it's really hard. I love Naomi, but it's hard for me to go against the GOAT. And I think this is the one that surprises us all. Serena's going to steal this one. Nobody thinks she has a shot. This is the one she takes.
Shannon, type in your answer before we go to break. He doesn't want to have to. Oh!
Well, and I think the other thing that factors into that, Chinay, is we also know however long she can is looking shorter and shorter. We've seen her come up and go. We've seen her run out of gas towards the end of a lot of these majors. And I think we all kind of have that conscious realization that we're nearing the end of this. We make the Father Time jokes about all of these goats, but it seems like we're seeing more and more evidence that we could be getting down to the home stretch on this one. Again, coverage on ESPN2 starts tonight at 10 o'clock Eastern. Going to be a late bedtime for all of us. But coming up next, three firsts in McCaffrey. Is that too much or not enough? Next on ESPN Radio.
Thanks for listening to Chinay and Golic Jr. Make sure to subscribe, rate, and review. You can hear the show live weekdays at 4 p.m. Eastern on ESPN Radio, ESPN News, and wherever you stream your audio.